to do potty.
Do ya?
Yeah.
Poo-poos or pee-pee?
Poo-poos.
Getting a child to use the toilet is one of parenting's early challenges.
I do poo-poo for Pony. I did the poo-poo in the toilet.
And then what happens?
Go to Target and get one.
Parents resort to all sorts of things, like, just for example, giving them My Little Ponies every time they go.
And where are they? And Lemon Hearts and Applejack and Button Bill and Pinkie Pie and Applejack. That's not an Applejack. Applejack. And Sunset Shimmer.
I'm Gina Kaufman, and this morning, a researcher from the University of Illinois in Chicago is with us to talk about the perils of using material goods to reward and punish kids. Lon Chaplin, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What inspired you and your research partner at the University of Missouri to study this?
Well, we see it everywhere, right? And even some parents try very hard to avoid keeping an arsenal of these coveted material rewards. But we see it everywhere. Parents love to see their kids happy. They want to reward their kids and shape their behavior to grow up to be responsible individuals. And they resort to material things.
So what's the main idea of your study?
Well, what we wanted to do was just to take this phenomenon that we see everywhere, parents rewarding their kids with material things to get the desired behavior from the kids. And we wanted to see, well, what long-term effects does that have on kids? So we kind of know what's going on, you know, at the present time. Kids misbehave, things are taken away, kids do well in school, they behave well at home, they get rewards, but at the end of the day, what does that do to our kids? So that's why we studied adults, actually. So the surveys, we did three surveys with over 700 adults to kind of track their childhood circumstances and their relationship with their parents during childhood.
So some of the things you're talking about, I mean, when we hear just that little bit of someone learning to potty train with toys as rewards, those are things most of us as adults don't remember. How do you study really early childhood things like that when you're studying adults?
Right. Well, that's a good question. So it allows me to clarify a little bit about the ages that we're asking adults to recall. So we don't ask adults to recall, toddler years or even kindergarten. The youngest age that we ask adults to recall is third grade. So that's about age eight. And we ask questions to kind of get a sense for how good their memory is. And so we ask questions such as, where were you living at the time? Who were you living with? So those factual questions allowed us to have more confidence in the other questions that we asked.
So what would you say the study has shown if you were going to encapsulate it?
Right. So the study showed that although, you know, we have warm, loving parents who want the best for their children. But I think if I were to ask you right now, if you think that you're a very materialistic person, you probably would be a little hesitant to admit whether you are or not, simply because it's a value that has negative connotations. And so if I said that you were materialistic, you might even be offended, right?
I probably would, yeah.
You would, as most people would be. So that's my point is, you know, it's not a good thing to be materialistic. But when you look at if you just sat in the park and you just listened to parents talking to their children, trying to convince them to leave the park. If you leave, you get a sticker or a lollipop. You see it so often. And so we need to understand, how does that affect children's outlook on life? And so what we found from the study was, although we have these warm, loving parents who want the best for their kids, they actually are the parents who use material possessions to get the desired behavior from the children. So what happens is, when the children grow up, what do? They associate material goods with success.
With success?
Excuse me?
I'm just clarifying. You said with success?
With success. They do something well, they expect to get something. Or they go and they reward themselves whenever they do something well. And so there's no inherent happiness with success. You need something to provide a concrete measure of your success.
So can you unpack a little bit more how you define materialism?
Sure. Materialism is the importance that a person places on acquiring and having material goods. And there's a sense of over consumption. You're buying things. You may not need these things, but you're replacing old things with new things. Even though the old things are still working, you just want new things. You're focused on acquiring more and more and more.
Are there any other sort of ramifications of materialism other than just wanting and needing and putting a lot of importance on new things?
Well, it's not so much the importance of new things, but the consequences of materialism. And our study, I have to state that our study did not look at these consequences, but they are from prior studies. And studies have found that people who are highly materialistic have reduced well-being, more marital problems, more financial difficulties. They overconsume, obviously, which leads to environmental degradation. And those are all from other studies that you can read up on.
So in the study, you describe two pathways to what you call material parenting. One is characterized by warmth and the other by what you call insecurity. What's the difference? And can you lay out maybe two examples with these different scenarios at play?
Sure. So parental warmth is, you know, the parents who are loving and, you know, they're very attentive to their children's needs. And in prior research, parental warmth has been associated with higher self-esteem in children, which makes sense, right? You're very attentive to your children. That's going to build their self-esteem. And that has been linked to a lower level of materialism. They feel good. These children feel good about themselves, and so they're less likely to attach themselves to material things to boost their self-worth. But in our study, what we found was what actually could happen, that parents who are very warm to their children are also more likely to reward them, and because they're so attentive to everything that their children do, that they're more likely to reward all these great things that their kids do. And remember, because they're warm and loving and all that, they're also likely to use material things as a punishment. So you don't do your chores, then you lose iPad time, for example. You lose your access to the iPad. You can't get on the computer. And so what happens is when parents are warm, the focus is also on material things, which can be a bad thing too, because remember prior research has linked parental warmth to higher self-esteem in kids, to less materialism. And so in our study, we found that there's a flip side to that too. The focus or overemphasis on material things can cause higher levels of materialism.
This is one of those studies that's gone fairly viral online. Has the level of interest surprised you?
I think any time that, yes, to answer your question. And I think that any time that there's an issue, that especially dealing with children and parents and material things, it's a pretty hot issue right now. And I think that parents think that there's some answer out there because it's hard. There are some parents who try very, very hard to not reward kids with material things, but it still creeps into their lives. And I think that when the study started making the news, everyone was reading it, and we got lots of calls because people feel like we can provide an answer, but we're not researchers who focus on parenting strategies. We work on we're materialism researchers.
So you're focused on outcomes.
Yes. And I think that there's this interest in some answer out there for parents and how to be the best that they can be for their kids.
But as you've researched this and people have told you the stories of their own childhood circumstances and given you sort of their models for how they were encouraged to do what they were supposed to and discouraged from doing what they weren't supposed to, when you looked at people who weren't raised with a materialistic parenting style, what were those other models?
I mean, I think even when you when you think about the different types of parents now, we've got the helicopter parents, we've got the tiger parents, absentees, the pushovers. I mean, lots of different parenting strategies. And I think that there is some element of using material goods in some way or another, even if it's a sticker or a cookie. I think a lot of people do that. What our research looked at, you know, kind of the extreme, where people are able to recall all these instances where there was a focus on an overemphasis on material things.
Well, what did parents emphasize when they didn't emphasize material things?
So in the survey, respondents answered in terms of even being yelled at by parents, just, you know, verbal teachings by parents and not just material things.
And that's the prevalent alternative?
Yes. I mean, that's what the respondents, that's how they, those, that was their response and as the alternative to material things.
So then would the converse of being yelled at as a verbal message be praise?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I think that you have to take a look at, and this is, you know, as we're talking to everyone thinks that we have this some magical answer, and we don't, unfortunately. All we can say is that when you focus on material things and you reward your children with material things and you punish them by taking away these coveted items, it places more value on these things to kids. And as they grow up, more value, they're going to see material things as very valuable. And I think you and I both know that there's more to a person than what they own, but yet that's the message that we're going to send kids. And there are other alternatives. We would say that a great alternative is rewarding kids with your time and your attention.
Time and attention. Well, aren't those things that parents, if they're able to provide them, are usually providing already? How do you provide special kinds of time and attention as a reward? Can you flesh out exactly what you mean?
Sure. That's a great question. And so here's an example. Lots of kids get prizes for finishing their chores at the end of the week. So instead of a prize, perhaps parents can allow kids to stay a little bit later to play a board game with the parents or to read an extra book or an extra few books before going to bed. They don't have to be taken on a shopping trip at the end of the week to pick out a prize. And I realize, you know, a lot of parents just, they work all the time and it's hard to create that extra time that they don't have. But we're talking 5 minutes, and to a child, 5 minutes going to bed later, 5 minutes later is a huge treat.
Okay, so parents, call us up with your questions about this study revealing that rewarding kids for good behavior using toys or other material things might have really negative consequences later in life. The number is 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. And Lon Chaplin, what inspired you to study this? Are you a parent yourself?
I am. I have been doing materialism research for a while now, and this is actually a project that we've been working on for a while now, for a few years, just to try to make sure we get it right. And it's something I've always been inspired to do research that looks at what's really happening right now.
Well, yeah, and I mean, when you say you've been doing materialism research for a long time, is that an entire field? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. So the area of materialism is in the marketing area and then sub area of consumer behavior. So we study why consumers buy what they buy and why do they feel like they need to buy more when they already have enough. And I focus on children's materialism. And my collaborator on this project, Marcia Richens, who's at the University of Missouri, she looks at materialism in adults. And so we just kind of combine forces to look at how childhood circumstances have longer term effects on adult materialism.
You know, to me, the results of your study sound fairly logical. Were people surprised by these outcomes? Were you surprised by them?
It's not so much, I mean, so going back to what I mentioned earlier, there's been prior research saying showing that parents who are very warm towards their children tend to have kids who are less materialistic. I mean, and that makes sense, right? If you're warm and supportive to your kids won't focus on, they won't feel the need to attach themselves to things.
But is that even
their own self-worth.
Is that even true if the warmth expresses itself through prizes and toys and things like that?
Well, right. And so that's where our research comes in, right? Because now we're showing that if the warmth is expressed through prizes and buying things and maybe even sometimes at the expense of spending time with your kids, buying them these things. Because then if you think about it, you buy them this toy, what's going to happen when they get home? Are they going to really spend time with you or are they going to be playing with their toy? So then you kind of miss out on that time that you could be reading to them or doing something with them because now they're enamored by this new toy that you just got them. And so what kind of surprised us was the fact that, you know, parents want the best for their kids, but then at the same time, when they're shaping their children's behavior with material things, it's going to backfire long term. Long term, you know, people become more materialistic because of, you know, all this attention and care that they're receiving as a young child that's so focused on material things.
What about...
I mean, don't get me wrong, but the time and attention is great, and that's what we're all for. Just giving your kids time and attention is the best thing that you can do. But it's the material things that kind of gets in the way.
What about the other lesson that parents were trying to teach using these rewards? I mean, does the kid who is encouraged to get good grades via money or car or something in high school, does that person grow up to be an adult who is high achieving in the workplace, for example, or are the other lessons better learned in other ways too?
You know, that's a great question, and it's not a question that our research looked at. But I think that I'm not saying that rewards don't work to get the desired behavior from kids. We all know how powerful stickers are. We all know how powerful these lollipops are. And like I said before, some parents try very hard to avoid keeping this arsenal of coveted material rewards because they realize that they don't want their kids to focus on just things. But it still creeps into their lives anyway. And I think that it creeps into their lives because it does work to some extent. And so what we're just saying is the focus has to also be on just spending time with your kids and giving them the attention and not so much paving the way for them to only see a sign of success as if a person has a nice car, a big house, and that person is successful. If the person doesn't have those nice things, that's a sign that person is not successful. That's the caution there, is the overemphasis on how important material things are in terms of your self-definition, in terms of defining what success means.
At a certain point, and this is maybe like one of those later childhood things, but the relationship between working and being able to have the things that you need, I mean, even just the basics, does need to be taught. And the most popular model for doing that is the trade of chores for an allowance, which seems to be exactly the kind of thing you're talking about. But that is a skill that it seems like it would be hard to teach in another way.
Right. And definitely there's a lot of communication that needs to go on. So, and like I said, our research doesn't look specifically at these strategies to get the behavior that you want from your children. This is a materialism study. And a lot of questions that we're receiving has to do a lot with parenting strategies, which we're not experts in, and we don't pretend to be experts in. But I would say that, I mean, just being a parent myself, I think that there is some value to teaching kids and getting them into the habit. If you use stickers as a sticker chart to a certain degree, and then that has to stop because you can't tell them that every time that you make your bed, you get a sticker, and that can't go on until they're 8 to 10 years old. At some point, parents have to know their kids, and each child's different. Each family situation is different, and you just have to adapt and figure out when to stop these rewards for various behaviors.
So when we talk about materialism, on the face of it, even though most people don't take that as a compliment, it might not seem like the worst thing in the world, especially compared with, say, never learning to use a toilet.
Right. Right. And so, like I said, the sticker charts, I think they work to a certain degree. I think it's up to the parents to figure out, when do we stop? When does it become a situation where you need to teach your kids that you can't get a sticker every time you use the bathroom? It has to stop because it becomes a good habit, and it becomes something that you children just need to learn how to do without being rewarded for.
Central Standard is off to a short break. We'll get right back to this conversation about materialism and parenting, that is, the use of toys and cars and clothes to reward kids for accomplishments like using a toilet or getting good grades. I'm Gina Kaufman. We'll be right back. I'm Gina Kaufman talking with Lon Chaplin at the University of Illinois in Chicago. Along with a research partner at the University of Missouri, she's conducted a study on the long-term effects of material parenting. And Lon, can you recap for us what material parenting is?
Sure. Material parenting is basically using material possessions to reward children or even to punish children, taking things away from children to get desired behavior from them, or even just to be happy, giving them things.
You know, you do materialism studies. I'd be shocked if you haven't heard the song, "I Live in a Material World and I'm a Material Girl." You know, that
right,
song.
Right, yes, mm-hmm.
I mean, is this just training to navigate the society we live in? Our society tends to view people who don't care about material things as outcasts and weirdos.
You know, I mean, I think that there's such a focus now on material goods and getting the right products. And it's tough being a kid these days. It's tough being a teenager and the pressure that comes with it. Just having the right goods. And I think that parents see this in their kids. And part of material parenting is just you're just warm, loving parents, and you want to see your kids happy. And part of it is not getting desired behavior, but just you want to buy something for your child just to see him or her happy. And I think that there's an overemphasis on material things right now. And what parents should realize is, yes, there's an overemphasis, but what children really need is parents' time and attention. So as parents work more in order to afford more, to buy more for their kids, what's happening is the kids are losing time with their parents. And that's where you really build kids' self-esteem so that they can withstand the peer pressure that they're going to face.
It's interesting that you say that, because some of it does seem to be kind of an efficiency thing, especially when kids are not old enough to totally reason with you. Like parents are trying to get everyone in the car and get going, and someone won't put on a coat even though it's 2 degrees out. And this can't go on forever or everyone's going to be late. So at some point, the bribery comes into play. Is the sort of the way we distribute our time part of the problem here?
Right. So that's a good question. And like I said before, every child is different, and every relationship between the parent and the child is different. Even if you're in the same household, you know, each child is different, and you interact with your kids differently depending on who's likely to want that bribe and who's likely going to be able to reason with you. And I think that definitely when we're pressed for time, the bribery can come into play, which is one of the worst things that you can do for the kids, because then you're not even using material things to get good, truly good behavior from them, because it's a bribe. There's no true teaching about what good behavior is, and it's just simply a bribe so that you can get out the door.
Let's talk with Bob in Platte City. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to share a story about my daughter when she was in high school. She came home one day and said that her girlfriends had bought her a new car because she made the honor roll. And I thought, wow, how am I going to handle this?
Because it was pressure for you to buy a car?
Yes. So I thought about it, and before I answered her, I said, well, do you really need me to buy you a car to make the honor roll? And she thought for a little bit, and she said, no, I guess not.
And what she's old enough to drive at this point. Do you think you had done things previously along the way that that's the way she answered?
I hope so. We were never ones to really give them awards. We gave them an allowance, but we didn't require them to do things for the allowance when they were growing up. But again, my daughter figured that out when she was in high school. If she was going to make the honor roll, it was something she wanted to do, not something I had to reward her to do.
It does seem like part of what, thank you, Bob. It seems like part of what we're talking about is sources of motivation. Long, can you talk about that and how that plays into materialism studies?
Sure. So art study doesn't look at what you're talking about, but there are studies that have shown that when kids are rewarded with material things so much, that they lose the drive to do things. Intrinsic motivation is what they lack. And so, Bob, your daughter has lots of intrinsic motivation because she wants to do things for herself. She understands the value of making the honor roll, the importance of that. And it's not, I'm going to make the honor roll because I'm going to get a car, because then they're only extrinsically driven. So there is research that says that if you keep rewarding with material things so much, you lose this intrinsic drive to do well for yourself. And that all that you're thinking about is the extrinsic motivation, just the final reward. And if you don't get the reward, you're not even going to try for it because there's no reward out there for you.
Scott tweets us and says that he rewards his kid with Legos because then he can help her put the set together and play on this new set, that it's kind of a combination of the things you're describing, that it's not the thing itself. It's the activity that the family is going to enjoy with those things. What do you think about that? Is that, like in your study, would you consider that material rewarding?
Well, I think that's a great idea for parents to spend time because Scott is spending time with his child. It's not buying something and then the child's so enamored by that material object that he or she takes it to the room and has no interaction with the parents. So this is a great alternative because, I mean, parents do, and there is some value to Legos with, you know, the whole building and imagination, too. I think that's great about Legos. And so I think that's a great alternative.
Your paper expresses some doubt that parents in general can change because this is such a deeply ingrained approach to raising kids. The paper says it's difficult to imagine a tractable strategy aimed at changing ingrained parenting practices. Can you explain what you mean by that?
So, as I mentioned earlier, we like to see our kids happy. And material things do make kids happy. It's a concrete thing. Kids don't think in abstract terms. And so when you reward them with something that they can handle and play with, it makes them happy. And we all melt when we see our kids happy, right? And
right.
It's hard to change that. It's just a natural thing. If you do this, then, you know, maybe later on we'll go get ice cream. And so it's difficult to change. But what we have to be mindful of, and hopefully our study does this, is it helps parents visualize or at least think about the longer-term effects. And it could be that their children will grow up to have an overemphasis on buying things to keep rewarding themselves and buying things when maybe they don't have the income to purchase, and so it's credit. So then they have financial difficulties. Just the ramifications long-term, so that we can do something when the kids are young now and reward them with our time and attention.
But this idea that it's difficult to imagine changing ingrained parenting practices, I'm curious about why you feel that way, because it seems like that's exactly what's happened with things like sending kids to bed without supper or hitting them with belts. Those are tactics that are much less mainstream than they used to be.
Right. Again, I think it has to do with the fact that kids are very concrete. They're concrete thinkers. And kids like things. Adults like things. We all like things to a certain degree. And so during childhood, it's hard. I mean, even the parents who try really, really hard to not reward their kids, it still happens to a certain degree. And I think that we have to think most parents would have to think twice to kind of cut back on all these little rewards. And I'm not talking about going out and spending a lot of money on kids, even rewarding with stickers and stuff. It can be helpful to a certain degree, but then what's happening is the kids may focus too much on just getting the reward, and they don't really learn the responsibilities around the house, because if they don't get something, they're not going to do it.
Yeah, and when you're an adult, you're not going to probably get anything other than a clean house.
Right, exactly. And you know, it's a win-win situation for parents, too, because if the kids do all their chores and at the end of the week, you don't take them to go get a prize, but you spend time playing with them, or you let them stay up a little bit later, then not only do you get to spend more time with your kids, the kids get to spend more time with you, have your attention, but they're learning that if they do what they're supposed to do and if they are developing responsibility, then it frees up their parents' time, right? Their parents don't nag them. Or worse, their parents aren't cleaning the room for them. That would be the worst thing, is that your kids don't do it and you end up doing it for them. It's still taking time away from the parent and the child playing with each other. So then the kids hopefully would learn, I do what I'm supposed to do. My parents will have more time to play with me because they're not doing it. I'm not doing it when I'm during playtime. I do it when I'm supposed to do it. Yes.
What are the questions you still have?
Oh, we have lots of questions. This is not the end. we haven't, you know, this is a retrospective study, and it would be great to do some of this stuff in a lab to test some of our findings in a lab situation and to really test cause and effect. Lots of questions in terms of longer term, what specific type of material goods will contribute more to materialism. And the whole issue right now with, I think you mentioned earlier, actually, the experience. So you buy a box of Legos home, and that's kind of an experience, but it's also material good. So looking at a situation like that, how does that influence materialism longer term?
Lon Chaplin, author of the study Material Parenting, How the Use of Goods in Parenting Fosters Materialism in the Next Generation. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Professor Chaplin spoke to us from the University of Illinois in Chicago.